Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Tom Nelson here with Joey Pyburn, of course, Joel Martin, FishBaronOff.com. And every year in Alaska is a little bit different. Of course, this is absolutely, no different with regard to the challenges you face, you know, up here every year. It's one of the things I always do when I get up here is I try to figure out, you know, what's going to be going on down in our neck of the woods by looking at the salmon runs and stuff like that. And you know, every year is so enigmatic because we started off here, we got to town and started hitting Chinook immediately. In fact, the guys I flew in with, of course, my friends, Jeff Lalone of Bayside, Mike Surdick of Ray Marine Electronics, and, big Eric Jorgensen of Roy Robinson, of course, Jeff's dad, you know, flew in as well. And, so the first day you get to town is just, you know, a scramble, right? Mm-hmm. So we got the boat in the water and we got out of Vitskarry Rocks, and doggone if we didn't get our kings. I mean, just got them right off the bat, you know. And then, you know, you look around and the Chinook kind of weren't in the same places that you expect them. And every year, it changes so much every year. But, you know, Joey goes, listen, I'm sending up some anchovies for you this year. And, you know, I'd never even considered fishing anchovies up here. Yeah. But, I mean, I tell you what, we located some fish and found some fish. And the bait size overall, I want to say what they're feeding on out there, Joel, is smaller this year. Would you say that? Would you agree?
It appears to be smaller.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard, too, yesterday. The fish, the guys that were fishing up north who were able to bang it out and get up there out of the weather, they were fishing smaller baits. So, I don't know. The anchovies seem to work wherever you go. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys fish with anchovies up here much?
No. Usually a red herring.
Yeah, sure.
Until Joey gets to town.
Yeah. I mean, we got bit yesterday really well on them, and the day before that we caught, I think, had two or three bites on the anchovy. You know, and the kingfishing had kind of slowed down a little bit. You know, they're kind of the first fish are coming in waves right now. We saw the same thing down in Craig. There was like a good push of fish, and then, you know, couple days of slow, and then here come the fish again. But yeah, man, I'm excited to get back out there. We had a big blow yesterday, and we kind of got pushed off the water early. So it's going to be interesting to get back out there and see what's around. I mean, the guys that got out yesterday caught fish and were able to,
without a doubt.
We had six bites or something like that yesterday morning.
I think we're definitely going into a new set of tides. It's going to bring in some more fish.
Big time.
Water temperatures have raised a little bit.
Well, yeah, and we've always seen here, too, that a big, you know, a storm or disturbance or something like that will definitely bring more fish.
Shake it up.
Yeah,
shake
absolutely. And that is 100% what we're seeing now. You know, and so we found fish at the Cape, which indicates they're coming around the corner, coming in here. I know there's more Chinook up to the north right now, but we haven't seen the real big Chinook yet. I mean, I know, you know, our biggest is 21, 22, a herd of a 25 yesterday for sure, which is a beautiful king anywhere.
Yep.
But, the one thing that remains so very, very, very consistent is the halibut fishing around here. You know, we dropped the anchor and those, you know, your first experience, and ended up putting in, you know, the 90 pounder was the biggest, and, Mike Surdick got a nice 115, and actually Jeff Lalone and Eric Jorgensen and all three of those guys ended up getting halibut over 100 pounds.
It was finally nice to see your program on the boat. You know, I have not been on the anchor with you before. I've done that down in the Puget Sound, a little bit different program down there. We were anchored in about 350 feet of water, and I've heard you say cycling through baits, and I, you know, in my mind, I had this idea like, you know, you put a bait down, it gets bit or catches a fish, and then you cycle through baits. But you're actually back there, you're building baits. You're like a scientist back there. You got herring. You've dyed those squid blue, which they almost look fake once they're blue.
They do.
Right?
They do.
But you're shoving a herring inside that squid.
Well, it gives it some body.
Yeah, and then some of them you're putting a piece of, halibut skin.
Yeah.
or you're putting a little piece of
salmon skin or something.
Octopus.
Yeah. Yep.
So you maybe three different things on that bait, but you have all these baits in a bucket ready to go. Rods go down. You know, a rod get bit, and then if didn't, you know, they didn't hook it, give it another minute or two, get it up. It'd come up, boom, another bait down. And you're cycling through those baits constantly. If it's down for more than 10, 12 minutes, the bait comes up, you put a new one on, slap it down. That bait gets re-juiced.
Yep.
Goes into the bucket, gets you know, a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of Procure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And
that's
so that's kind of the key up here is just running through baits. And I think on the Puget Sound should take note of that. Don't let your bait sit down there for an hour.
So if you think about what's going on, especially, you know, if you're fishing, you know, the surface of the water is never completely calm. And so your rod holders are going upside up and down. And so your rods are going up and down. And, you know, you just get that current just right. And you can get a hook flip over the top of your leader or something and you get tangled up. The longer those baits are sitting down there, the longer they have a chance to get fouled. Mm-hmm. And if that hook's upside down, you ain't getting bit. They, you know, so, and seen, especially with that, with the straight herring rig, which is that Berkeley Power Grub 8-inch deal with a nice blue label herring that's rubber banded to it, right? A couple Gamakatsu 12-aughts on 150 or 250 pound mono. And you know, as soon as that thing gets nipped, they're not coming back to it.
Which is strange. But you proved it. That thing actually, that simple little bait had more action than any other rod on the boat with all the fancy.
That's right.
Hoopla.
So you got to look at your anglers you got on boat when you're setting them up for halibut, right?
Yeah.
And Mr. Impatient gets the herring rig.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Mr. Patient gets the salmon head with the circle hook. Okay. The all day sucker, right? And you know, some of our biggest halibut, without question, come on that salmon head, that big bait. And it's something of a chicken filter with regard to, you know, like people say. You know, big salmon plugs are shaker filters. When we're down in Puget Sound, you're not going to get as many bites, but you're not going to get as many small fish, right? You're kind of doing that same thing with one of the bigger soaking baits on a circle hook. There's just no question about it. So that's one of the things we absolutely continue to work on. So, all right, well, we're going to pop out of here for a quick break. When we come back, the main reason you, Joey Pyburn, are here, and the first thing you did wasn't fishing. Okay.
Yeah.
It involved a Browning, a 6.8 Western, and some new cutting edge Vortex stuff. What is it? I'm going to tell you that next, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle, coming at you live and on location from Sitka, Alaska, the Totem Square Hotel, and of course, fishbaronoff.com with our dear friend Joel Martin, who has told me time and time again, there are no black bears on Baranoff Island, there are only browns or grizzlies.
Coastal brown bears.
Coastal brownies. So we really don't refer to them as grizzlies, right?
Grizzlies are interior.
So coastal brownies.
Same critter. Yeah.
Now, there are other rocks, like on Cruzoff, for instance. Cruzoff Island out here, there are a few blacks, right?
No.
There are no blacks on Cruzoff.
No.
So they're all coastal brownies.
Unit 4 is black, brown bears only.
But down in Craig, Alaska.
Black bears.
Okay.
Monster black bears.
Monster.
Boone and Crockett black bears.
Yeah.
That's serious.
I think probably more Boone and Crockett black bears have come from Prince of Wales than any. I think it's up in maybe 120 bears, kind of top bucket list down there. Huge bears. Spending time down there with Robbo, like I said, we took his charter boat. We put a raft inside of it, a little 6-horse kicker, and we ran almost 100 miles south to like one of the quietest places I've been. So like some of the mornings we would wake up and it was just flat calm, totally quiet. We never saw another person. We never heard another boat or saw another boat. One day we did hear a float plane and we all got like irritated. We're like, what's that plane doing? What are they doing down here? This is our spot, you know? And the program is you kind of, set up a big base camp on the beach, and then use the charter boat to kind of run to either into a salt chuck or close to it. If you can get into it with the salt chuck, you kind of nose in there real quietly, drop the anchor, and then use the raft. We deploy the raft, strap on the motor, and kind of putt around these salt chucks, and you glass. And you're glassing from the raft, and there are a lot of bears. Obviously, yeah. You know this, Joel. There are a ton of bears. We saw over 30 bears in our 4 days of hunting. And we had Mark Boardman, our Vortex friend, on board. And we had Nick Perchetti, a 44-year veteran guide out of Nevada, who was awesome. And Mark obviously brought along a bunch of fancy new Vortex optics, things that we have been sworn to secrecy.
We cannot talk about them.
We can't tell you what they are. We can talk a little bit about how well they worked. He had a new rangefinder that was amazing. And the cool thing is Mark gets this stuff well before anybody and passes it on to some of us pro staff guys. Rob and I were both using a scope that is going to probably come out around August, which is going to be, it's kind of a game changer scope. I want to say this stuff about it that makes it so cool, but I can't. But we used our optics to locate these bears, and then it's a wind game. So you'll see a bear maybe a mile away in a cove. They're usually like in a cove with some grass. That's what they're feeding on this time of year is grass and shore crabs. And then you figure out the wind. Like, here's a cove. You got 2 points. Well, you're either going to go to this point or this point, depending on the wind. And then you land on the beach and you stalk in on these bears. And, man, it is – I killed my bear at 59 yards. I think Rob killed his bear at 53. So you can get very close to these bears, which makes it so much fun, man. You get a sneak right in. You can hear them breathing. You can hear them chewing. You can hear them flipping over rocks. And like, you can almost hear them crunching those little shore crabs. It was a killer experience and kind of just changed my whole plan for spring bear. I've been an Idaho guy, but if I can draw this tag, I'm going to come up here every time and do that hunt.
What are the odds and what are the challenges for non-resident hunting of these bears? How tough is it to draw?
It's not like an extremely tough tag to draw. I drew the first year I put in. Boardman and I put in as a group. Boardman had drawn 2 years before that with Rob, so he'd already done that hunt with Rob. Obviously, us talking about it and posting stuff about it is going to make it tougher, but that's fine. There are a lot of bears. You can put in, I believe, December 2022, and you will
hunt 2023.
So, no, you put in December 2021, and you will draw for a hunt in spring 23. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little weird that way. Yeah. It's a long time to put a hunt
it's
out there.
It's all about timing.
For.
Yeah, it really
it is. It
is. Yeah.
But if you draw this hunt, you can go with a guide. There's a Kurt Whitehead is on the island and they run an amazing operation. I would recommend your first time going with a guide, but you can definitely do it DIY. You can rent boats there. You can drive around the island and use the logging road system to hunt these bears. You can have a killer DIY experience on that island.
So one of the things that really struck me, and I've never taken a bear. I've never been bear hunting. I've been hunted by a couple of them, though, and when I was working in field camps and whatnot. But what struck me about, the bears that I've seen with you is looking at these bears and how torn up they are. Life is not easy for one of these black bears, and their diet was unique, too. These guys are flipping over rocks, eating shore crabs, eating sand fleas, eating mussels off the bottom. That's what makes them available and accessible to you guys is that whole, they come down to the beach, eat grass, and roll rocks.
Yeah. You're basically you're hunting bears over bait is what you're doing. But it's the bait that's naturally there on the beach. Just like fishing, I wanted to get in there and see what they'd been eating, you know. And every bear, we would make this nice half moon cut and open the flap of the stomach. And most of them had grass and some crabs. Rob's bear had grass, skunk cabbage, crab, and sand fleas. I mean,
that's a unique.
So cool.
That's the definition of omnivore,
yeah,
right there.
Definitely.
No question about it. All right, we're gonna pop out of here for a quick break. On the other side of this, we got Raymarine picks of the week. We got a lot going on down home. Okay, so let's get that covered. So give us another commercial break. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Tom Nelson here with Joey Piper, and of course, and our dear friend Joel Martin of FishBaronOff.com. Thanks for having us here, man.
You're welcome.
Really, really appreciate
Thank you for
it.
Being
love,
here.
Absolutely love being here. This is Raymarine Picks of the Week here for the 22nd. Of course, next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we got a whole bunch of stuff happening in Puget Sound. We got the Skykomish season. Okay,
yep.
It's going to open up for Chinook.
Yeah.
Todd Daniels, is on that fishery. We're probably going to have him jump on next week and walk us through that. Pretty unique fishery in that, you know, you think of Chinook and a river, Joe, and the first thing that comes to mind isn't steelhead gear.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what
that's
these
the program.
Guys, it is.
Yeah.
The Skykomish Kings are absolutely little egg biters. Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
normally you think of kingfish and big globs of eggs.
Yep.
But this is light tackle.
K-15 sardine wraps or plunkin spinners.
That stuff just doesn't seem to work on the sky.
Yeah,
it is you are basically dragging small globs of eggs down the river on steelhead rods,
right,
which makes it super fun.
Right.
I fished with him last year a couple times and we just had a blast. But yeah, that kicks off and guys are going to be. You know, I may actually be out there with him. I'll be home by then, and I might jump on with him and get on the sky. But, yeah, we have a ton of stuff going on. Guys are still shrimping. Shrimping's been solid.
Shrimping was different, man, from what I'm hearing from the opener. I mean, it sounded like Saratoga Passage, Port Susan was pretty solid, and you got out past that. The rest of Marine Area 8-2, kind of south of Hat Island, kind of didn't produce, but Area 10 did, and the spots guys are doing it, 9 and whatever was okay, but there was kind of a couple holes, but most, by and large, it sounds like folks got their spot prawns.
Yeah.
And also, it sounded like the harvest was to the point where it's going to be unlikely for a second opener inside Puget Sound, but Marine Area 6 is, you know, definitely going to have more opportunity out there on the bank.
Guys are still catching halibut too.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
they are.
My buddy Larry Mandela was out. I saw he was a nice pick of him with Deception Pass in the background. Obviously, he must have caught it right there. You know,
Larry. Those landmarks are going to be indicative of where you caught those halibut.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a nice 80-pound halibut.
Nice.
Lingcod fishing still going on. Checked in with our buddy David Dietrich from Adventure Angling Guide Service. He's still down in the South Sound roping cutties. And the coho fishing now has kind of picked up.
Yeah.
The thing about the coho thing is if they're there, you're going to catch them. Those coho are either going to be up in the shallows feeding or they're going to be out at 300 feet feeding, right? If they're up there feeding, guys are going to catch them. He said those fish are like 2 to 4 pounds right now, which those are big.
Those are
big resident
coho. And don't think they're not going to be 5 or 6.
Well,
come summer season.
What he said was tons of sand lance, tiny little sand lance down there. So they're gorging themselves on those. Obviously, if you're going to go down and fish the South Sound, small, shiny patterns, right? Little tiny stuff, little bucktails, something like that. Checked in with Kevin John. The Skagit fishery is open. We got that little permitting issue fixed.
Same with Marine Area 13.
Marine Area
13's same
open.
Permitting issue.
Guys are just kind of getting out on the Skagit, trying to figure that thing out. That is kind of a get in a travel lane and hang out and wait.
I could not agree
and
with you more.
And it's going to depend on water level, too.
Yeah, let them come to you. There's no question about it. Also, the bubble opens up next weekend, so lots to do Memorial Day weekend. Before we get to Memorial Day weekend, though, the 26th, of May is your special hunt permit cutoff right then. If you don't get your special permits in by then, you are going to be out of luck. WDFW just came up with four razor clam digs, and it's May 24th. And that's Mocrocks. May 26th is Mocrocks. In fact, they're all going to be at Mocrocks. Yeah. So May 24, 26, 28, and 30. So if you want to get your Memorial Day razor clamming on, what a great way to spend Memorial Day weekend, getting out there on those ocean beaches.
And with the, you know, the lack of clamming that we had over the last year.
Oh,
it's got to be filthy.
It has
clams.
To be.
And then just remember. First 15 clams you dig, you got to take them.
And don't think they're not watching you, because they are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
No question about it. Closer to Sitka here, where we're coming from, live and on location from Totem Square Hotel and FishBaronoff.com, the Sitka Salmon Derby starts today, does it not?
Memorial Day weekend and the first weekend in June.
Okay, so next weekend.
Next weekend.
So how big a Chinook did it take last year to win the Sitka Salmon Derby, is it?
Well, they actually didn't have one last year because of the coronavirus.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, but the year before?
Year before, I think it was 35 or 40 pounds. Say, it's gotten a lot smaller in the last few years.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It used to be a 50-60 to take it to win it.
Roger that. Mm. Yeah, no, I hear you. And that's, you know, that's something else that you know, we may address on future shows, what the size trend, you know, whole deal, what that's all about. And I have my specific thoughts about what's going on there, too. But, you know, we'll save that for another show. But it's interesting because we started talking about locations, and you never see the big Chinook that wins the Sitka Salmon Derby away from structure. It always seems like it's in some little inside, you know. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned just north of town, Dog Point, and some other, you know, little tiny, close to shore, big baits off the kelp.
On the
deal.
Kelp.
It just seems like that's where the biggest Chinook are definitely going to come from. No question about it. All right. Well, tell you what. We are not going to be able to have guests this time around, but we're going to cover the stuff that our guests were going to cover for us. So next hour. You got a great opportunity today to get up to Anacortes, do the Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show. You can do demos. We're gonna cover what's going on. That. And they've announced the actual in-person Seattle Boat Show dates. We're gonna cover that. Also, you know, the Cowlitz has a heck of a good steelhead plant this year. That may be also going on too. The Northwest Outdoor Report and plenty more. Okay, we're right back with a jam-packed hour two right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. Seattle.